thanks for checking out this message from Springmount Church.
For more information about us and what we do, visit our website, springmount.church.
Why not check out all the different groups that run throughout each week in Barrow and on Walney?
And join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Salthouse Pavilion in Barrow Infirmary.
If you would like us as a church to pray for you, please email prayer@springmount.church.
Or sign up on our website for monthly news straight to your inbox.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here. And I want to just say right at the outset, thank you. Those of you who've been praying for me, I really, really appreciate it. And I know many of you have come up to me and asked me how I'm going on. Essentially, the situation is this. None of my numbers add up. So on blood tests, my kidney function's just at a low level, at 25%. But I feel full of energy, feel full of life, feel as normal can be. Just getting on with life, doing what I have to do in terms of watching what I eat and exercising, letting the medics sort out what they want to do with me, but ultimately, you know, trusting God that he'll just keep putting life and energy in this body. But thanks for your concern and thanks for your prayers. Well, I've been asked to speak this morning on something I would most likely sum up as wisdom in relationships. The wisdom of who you hang about with. The wisdom of who influences your life. And there's just a few scriptures to share, and then I'll launch into the message. First one is Proverbs 3:27-30. Says this: do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Proverbs 12:5-6 says this: the thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lying in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. And then Psalm 1 says this. Great psalm, this one. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's pray. And then let's dig a little into some of the truth in God's word. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for your word. And I thank you, Lord, it has the power to set us free. I thank you, Lord, that you say we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. So, Lord, I pray this morning as I would speak that, Lord, you would go right to the core of our beings. I pray, Lord, you'd go right to our very hearts. I pray, Lord, that this, Lord, will not bounce off the surface, but, Lord, I pray it will pierce right into hearts, Lord, this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would change us, transform us. And I pray, Lord, that you will set us free from the inside out. And so, Holy Spirit, I just thank you for a fresh anointing. And I thank you for a fresh grace to speak your heart this morning. And Lord, build us up, encourage us, I pray, and fill us with wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I've already said, my understanding is you're looking at the whole issue of relationships, wisdom, who's in our lives, who we build with, in one sense. And I thought it'd be really good to just have a couple of foundational things before we launch off. First foundational thing is this. When I start to talk about good people and bad people, I'm not talking about you having a moment in life. You know, every single one of us in this room, we've had our moments. We've maybe had meltdowns. We've pressed the self-destruct button. We maybe overreacted when we shouldn't have overreacted. We maybe have not quite had our attitudes all lined up. What I'm talking about is not that kind of thing. Something that is like a blip in your life and a blip in your character. What we're talking about here are deep-seated character issues. The second thing that I want to also say as a qualification here as well is that as believers, we are called to love the unlovely. And we're called to go out into this world and bring good news to those people whose lives are bound in sin and to show them the love and the grace of God. And so what I'm going to teach this morning, I don't want anyone to use it as an excuse for bailing out in dispensing love and grace into the lives of those who are unlovely. Right, that's the foundation laid. There are two kinds of people, though, in life. There are good people and there are bad people. Scripture talks about this a lot. Talks about those who are good, who are upright, whose hearts are pure, those whose conduct is good, their speech is healthy, their attitudes, their relationships are good. And then it also talks about those who are bent on destruction and are bent on destroying lives and bent on doing damage into people's lives. And there are good people and there are bad people. Psalm 1 gives us a little bit of wisdom on who to hang about with. Firstly, it says this, don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that mean? It just simply means this, who is speaking into your life today? You know, we live in a world, even more so with social media, where there are voices galore. And there are lots of people speaking lots of stuff out there. And the question is this, it is who are we allowing to speak into our lives? It says here, don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, don't allow ungodly attitudes and ungodly thoughts, you know, to be spoken into your world and spoken into your life. You know, one of the things that I've discovered in life is that the Lord wants us to wise up, and one of the ways in which we can wise up is this. We can learn to, on the one hand, have hearts that are so open that we embrace every single person, and yet also be able to just put a block, a filter on what comes into our lives. And I believe that that is wisdom when we're able to hold those two tensions in balance. And wisdom is incredibly important. Proverbs says, that the way of the wise winds upwards. I want you to know today you are not in a downward spiral, you're in an upward spiral. And wise people, their lives go upwards. The other thing it says is this, that wisdom builds the house. If ever there was something that God is a builder. He's not a destroyer. You know, we see every day on the news scenes of devastation around the world, particularly of wars. And one of the things you'll discover in a war that is that no construction takes place at all. You know, just buildings get demolished. But when a war subsides, people start to build again. And the way of the wise is a way of building. We're not in the business of tearing down, we're in the business of building up. Doesn't take very much skill to destroy. Doesn't take very much skill to do someone down. Doesn't take very much skill to break someone's heart. That takes no skill whatsoever. What takes skill and wisdom is to build people up and to encourage people and to help people become everything that God has intended them to be. Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. So a good idea to have a few good voices speaking into your life. I've always, over the years, had those people that I can go to and I can just bounce things off. You know, those times when you're scratching your head, those times when you're puzzled about which way and what direction to go in life. And what I've discovered is that good people have spoken into my life time and time again and have led me forward in my faith. The second thing it says here is don't stand in the way of sinners. I find that little phrase there, way, incredibly interesting. Scripture talks a lot about the way of the Lord. The Lord has ways. You know, his ways are far above our ways. You know, one of the wonderful things about the ways of God is this. It is how he deals with us. It is how he treats us. He is on a journey with each one of us of bettering our lives. You know, I said to someone the other day, I said, you know, the Lord is far more interested in what he does in you than what he does through you. Most of the church is interested in what God does through them, interested in moving in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and I'm into all of that kind of stuff, but I want to say this, what he does in us is far more important. Because it builds us into the people that he has created us to be. It's not about what we do, but it's about how we do it. It's about doing it God's way. God's way is the way of humility. God's way is the way of surrender. God's way is the way of abandoning our will and surrendering our will to his will. That is God's ways in our lives. His way is a way of mercy. His way is a way of grace. You will never, ever find anyone in life who is beyond his grace and mercy. And that is why we need to propel ourselves all the time into sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But you know, what are the ways of sinners? I believe the ways of sinners are selfishness. I believe the way of sinners is manipulation, making people feel guilty and feel bad about what they're not and about what they don't do. And particularly what they don't do to serve and satisfy someone's selfish end and selfish means. The way of sinners, I believe, is intimidation. I'll let you into a little secret. And you all know what you need to do when I say that. You all need to lean in that little bit because it's a secret not everyone can hear. I've even discovered in the church, sometimes the way of sinners, of people who will intimidate and people who will threaten. I've had no end of people threaten me and tell me that God's judgment is coming into my life because of some of the things that I might believe and some of the things I might teach. I've had people tell me that, you know, my ministry has come to an end because I've not done what they want me to do. And it's simply spiritual threatening and spiritual intimidation. And it's the way of sinners. But we don't operate that way. We operate the kingdom way, which is the upside down, right side up way. We operate on the basis that as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then in due season he will exalt us. And we're not into the business of self-promotion. Far better to be promoted by the Lord than to promote yourself. The third thing is this. We don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Scoffers, old-fashioned word there. I think it had the word mockers most likely came up. When we're talking mockers, we're not talking cars or coffee either. Yeah, we're talking about that ability to ridicule and put people down and to use humour to put people down. And let me just say this, what I'm not advocating is that you abandon your sense of humour. You know, we don't want Christians who have a sense of humour bypass. I've met one or two in my life. Humour's important. And certainly in the northern parts of the country, our humour is dry and it's self-effacing. And there's a little bit of banter in it. And it can all be very healthy, that. I know when we were part of the church at Milnrow, they had an upstairs room, and I used to always say this, I enter the front door, by the time I've got upstairs, I've been insulted 7 times, and I know that I'm loved. Because of that kind of northern banter. But I want to say, sometimes it can just go that little bit too far into ridicule and into cynicism. And I want to say this, that cynicism is the opposite of the spirit of faith. Cynicism will put doubt and unbelief and fear into people's lives. But the spirit of faith comes in a different way. I remember being in the town of Fasharës in Albania. Really tough town. It's quite a macho kind of town. It's tough, hard place. I remember doing 2 trips, one after another, and these 2 trips, talking with different people there. And the one thing that kept being said time and again, and they're very cynical people in that particular town, and they just kept saying to me, it can't be done here. This is Fasharës, it can't be done. This is Albania, it can't be done. 2 years on the trot visiting Fasharës, I preached the same message, which was out of Ephesians, that God is able to do far more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Every time they said, it can't be done, there was something rose up in my spirit that said, it will be done. Because faith comes in the opposite spirit to cynicism. And we're encouraged not to sit in the seat of mockers. The book of Isaiah says this about mockery, that mockery will bind you up in chains. All mockery will do is you think it will make you look big and other people look small. All mockery does is it makes your world smaller and smaller. What faith does is faith makes your world bigger and bigger. We are bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. Few practical things to finish off with. So who are you going to have in your world then? Let me give you a few practical suggestions. The first one is this: have people in your world who love you for you. Many, many people love other people for what they do in their lives. I found this, that it's a very rare commodity at times to find and discover people who love you for who you are. They don't love you because you're performing a service in their life. They don't love you because you're performing a role in their lives. They love you for who you are. And all of us need people in our lives who will love us for who we are. I was in Cheshire this week. I was in the land of the supercar. I went to Knutsford. Yeah, very, very posh in Knutsford. I went on the car park. There's a Bentley, there's a McLaren, there's a Porsche. Yeah, there's a Ferrari. All just on the normal car park. I thought, what kind of place have I come to? I was meeting up with a friend of mine who lives in Stoke, and he decided Knutsford was halfway between Stoke and where we were. But you know, I had a couple of absolutely wonderful hours with this friend. He's a seasoned minister, but we don't relate to each other as ministers. We don't relate to each other because we perform roles in each other's lives. We're just good friends and we just shared life together. And we share the good stuff that's going on, and we shared some of the iffy stuff that's going on. And then we both shared health issues as well. And all of that kind of stuff. And there we were in Costa, and he's laying hands on me in Costa and praying for me. And there's all, could I always keep my eyes open if someone's praying for me in a public place? And so I'm busy watching also all these people's facial expressions, because he wasn't praying particularly quietly either. And they're all sort of walking around. Ooh, what's going on over there? Ooh, ooh. And when we were talking about the Lord, we could kept seeing people sort of leaning over and listening in. But you know, we were just together for friendship. And you know, we need in our lives people who love us for who we are. The second thing is this: we need people in our lives who are further on than us. I don't know about you, but I've discovered this. I've not arrived yet. I've not finished yet. I've not discovered everything yet. I don't know everything yet. I'm still on a journey of discovery. And I need people in my life who are going to stretch me and going to lead me into more of the knowledge of God. And I think back over the years, you know, some of the people that the Lord has brought into my life, and it absolutely blows my mind. But the Lord, I believe, saw in my heart, even as a young man, that I've always had a hunger and always wanted to grow and always wanted to go further in God. Not just in the doing of the stuff, but in the knowing of Him and in the knowing of His ways. And sometimes we just need people in our lives who can take us that little bit further. People who've gone maybe where we want to go. I have a really good friend in Zambia, Joseph Mwila, and I've not been able to see Joseph for a few years, but he's someone very, very precious to me, and I love being with Joseph. Because sometimes in your walk with God, there's stuff that goes on, spiritual experiences you have where you might think, am I losing the plot? This seems a little bit out there. This seems a little bit scary. And you just need to bounce it off someone who's not a weirdo, someone who's grounded and rooted in life. And Joseph's that kind of guy. And sometimes when we get together, start to talk about some of the things we've experienced, and he drags me on that little bit further. And I hopefully at times drag him on that little bit further as well. And we need those kind of people in our lives. Third thing is we need people who encourage us. Let me say this, this isn't about fishing for compliments. You know, sometimes people fish for compliments and they're looking for someone to encourage them to satisfy their fishing. I'm not talking about that. You know, and there are times in our lives we just got to dig deep and do what David did, where it says this, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. But you know, encouragement is so important. To be able to have people in our lives who are encouraging voices. One of our first trustees in PFJ was a man by the name of Bill Prescott. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Bill was a man of few words. Didn't really say that much in trustee meetings. The only words he used to always say was, just go for it, Mark. Just go for it, Mark. Just go for it, Mark. But I knew right in the beginning days when all we had was £40 in the bank and a piece of paper that was our vision, that there weren't very many people who believed that piece of paper. But I knew that Bill was a man who believed that piece of paper. That Bill was a man who believed in the call of God and the vision that God had given. And Bill was willing to encourage. And we need encouragers. A number of years ago, before we launched PFJ, I worked for a period for a church on a part-time basis, and one night I went to a meeting and was told that my services were no longer required, and this was friends telling me, and it was all quite difficult at the time, and I remember thinking, oh, I've got to go home and tell Alison. How do I tell her I've been sacked? And I remember going home, and it was just a turbulent few days, really, of sort of all the emotion of it. Me wondering, have I done something wrong? Could I have done things better? All of that. And let me say, it wasn't any misconduct that led to the sacking. It was just the guys just felt I needed a different direction in life. I think that was ultimately it. But there was a guy by the name of Tom Yates, elderly guy. And I was at a prayer meeting. He knew nothing of what was going on. He knew nothing that I was now about to launch out in faith and trust God for my salary. And Tom says to me, he says, Mark, come over to my house. And I go over to his house. And he's in a two-up, two-down terrace. And the staircase is like Mount Everest. And he's an elderly man. And I'm stood at the bottom of this staircase. And I'm thinking, how on earth is he going to get up there? And then when he's coming back down, I'm worrying even more, thinking, how's he going to get down safely? And Tom comes down with a little tin in his hands. And he said, the Lord spoke to me a few months ago and said, Mark's going to need your help. And every week he kept putting a £10 note away until he had £100. And there he opened up the tin and he said, there's £100. He didn't know how low I was at that moment. He didn't know all the concerns I had about how the future would pan out. But God knew, and he was willing to engage with God in order to be an encouragement to me. That Sunday at church, we were worshipping the Lord and we had a prophetess in the church, a proper prophetess. You know, not someone who just thinks she's a prophetess. She came along and sat next to me, knew nothing of what was going on, and she just says, the Lord says, you're a good un. The moment she said those words, I was in floods of tears and I wept and I wept and I wept. You see, I kept asking the question, have I done something wrong? Have I messed up? Could I have done things better? All of those things going on. But in that one moment, I knew the approval of God was upon my life. And the one thing that I've always lived for is to be approved by God rather than approved by men. And we need encouragers in our lives. Let me just go on to say, all of those people who finish me are good friends still. Yeah, because we found grace and we found a way of working it all out and moving it all forward. Next thing is this, and two quick things to finish off. Build into our lives people who forgive and are full of grace. I want gracious people in my life. I don't want miserable, judgmental people in my life. You know, because when I'm struggling, I need a dose of grace. If I've messed up, I need someone to put me back together. If I've heard wrong, I want someone to keep on believing in me even though I've heard wrong. We need gracious, forgiving people in each one of our lives. And the final thing is this, we need people who are loyal in our lives. If you ask me what is a godly attribute, I believe a great godly attribute is faithfulness. God is faithful. For me, it's the thing that sums him up. He is a faithful God in every season of life. And we need people who are faithful people in every season of life. What are the things that you discover in life when you've lived as long as I've lived? You discover this. In your greatest moments, everyone wants a bit of you. And in your lowest moments, there are a lot less people want a bit of you. You discover who your friends are. You discover who's willing to walk with you in life. And loyalty and faithfulness are incredible things. This morning, I pray that each one of our lives will be filled with wisdom when it comes to building our relationships. Father, I just pray this morning that you fill us all with wisdom. I thank you, Lord, that you said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives wisdom liberally. And Lord, we pray for wisdom to come liberally into each one of our lives. And Lord, we want to thank you today that, Lord, you are all the things that we've spoken of, that, Lord, you walk with us in every moment, in every circumstance. And we're so, so grateful for that. In Jesus' name, Amen.